Hey, this is the Psychedelic Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, David Flores, CEO of Global Track Solutions. And joining me here today is a familiar and friendly face to the Psychedelic Spotlight Podcast. He is the co-founder and executive chairman of Field Trip Health, Ronan Levy. Ronan, as always, it is a distinct pleasure to have you here on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me yet again. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on. And so this is our first opportunity to connect here in the new year. So I want to cover a couple of topics and subjects of news here that the company has released in the last few weeks. I think first and foremost, I want to talk about the announcement of the opening of the psilocybin research and cultivation facility in Mona, Jamaica. This, of course, was in a collaboration and partnership with the University of the West Indies. And my question here is kind of twofold. So we'll start with the first one, and that is looking at the industry, bigger picture, looking at psychedelics as a treatment for some of the more pressing mental health conditions. What, you know, do you anticipate the work being done here at this facility being able to contribute to developing perhaps safer, more effective psychedelic-based products and drugs? If you know, we can get some clarity on that, I think that's probably the best place to start.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we opened it. And there's a number of ways in which that need can be met through the work we're doing at the University of West Indies. When we got into the industry, one of the things we've recognized is that, much like we saw with cannabis, there's probably going to be two parallel paths for access to psychedelic therapies. One, the purely medical, FDA-approved clinical trial synthetic molecule path. And the other one, probably looking a lot more grassroots, exactly like what got approved in Oregon, that relies on the natural product as opposed to synthetic molecules, more accessible to a wider number of people, kind of programs. And we're seeing that happen now in Oregon and Florida and California and Hawaii, and all of these states look like they're creating programs of a similar nature that will probably be more reliant on the natural product, mushrooms, as opposed to synthetic molecules that are being developed for the FDA process. And having gone through the cannabis industry, where we saw that scaling cultivation is not as easy as just building a bigger box, and it does require quite a degree of sophistication and know-how to make sure that you're producing consistent batches that meet all analytical testing requirements and so on and so forth, we want to get a head start on that for psilocybin. So even though last week we announced the opening of our facility doing cultivation work with psilocybin producing mushrooms, in fact, we've been doing the work for a year now, just in a temporary facility there. So the goal is to really start to standardize cultivation techniques so we can produce consistent, reliable, safe, tested psilocybin, at least develop the know-how for it. And then as markets emerge, like in Oregon or Florida or wherever else, we can take that know-how and understanding and replicate it in each jurisdiction that we want to become cultivating in. So in terms of safety and consistency of products, that's certainly one aspect of why we're doing this. The other piece, again, informed by the cannabis industry, is that we're starting to see more and more evidence that there's an entourage effect in psilocybin producing mushrooms, that the experience of consuming a mushroom as opposed to a synthetic psilocybin molecule is at least chemically going to be different. You know, we've started to find, and it wasn't our work, so I don't take credit for it, but you know, the researchers have started to find that there are MAOI inhibitors in mushrooms that modulate the receptor, the binding in the brain of the psilocybin or the psilocin. And so we wanted to explore the potential of an entourage effect in psilocybin producing mushrooms and figure out if there are other tryptamines or other molecules of interest or impact in psilocybin producing mushrooms. And so we're doing that work as well. Again, I think that could lead to new products as new tryptamines potentially are discovered that have different therapeutic values or potentials. You know, it could lead to a whole new host of other products or new drugs in the future. So that's kind of the scope of the work we're doing down there.
Very exciting. So, I mean, you touched a little bit on what the next part of my question was going to be, you know, and that is, you know, how specifically, you know, if we want to really narrow it down, how does this facility and the work that's going to be done here at this laboratory, how do you intend to have it contribute to the ongoing growth of Field Trip Health and you know, sort of supporting some of the business initiatives that the company has? I mean, company continues to grow. I mean, here in the US, I know you guys now have clinics in, I believe, New York, LA, Chicago, and Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. So you guys continue to move forward with your growth. So curious to understand how, a little more specifically, how you intend to leverage the work that's going to be done here at this facility to continue the ongoing growth of the company.
Yeah, the most immediate opportunity is taking that know-how and understanding and being able to transplant it into each jurisdiction that actually creates a market for psilocybin producing mushrooms. The first instance is going to be in Amsterdam, where we're opening up a clinic as well that will work with psilocybin as opposed to ketamine treatments. And so we're going to take the know-how and understanding, and as well as the genetic libraries we've built in Jamaica, and repurpose that over in the Netherlands. So we'll have unique products that we feel comfortable about in terms of consistency. That's the primary focus. That's the primary way it's going to contribute to our business model. But certainly as the industry continues to emerge and new opportunities for the natural products emerge, then it'll have more and more application.
Right. You want to touch a little bit on, you know, what having this data and this information that you guys are going to collect here from this facility, I mean, what does this mean? I mean, obviously, you know, myself being involved here in the psychedelic space and industry, I mean, I see that as incredibly valuable. And I think those in the investor community are still trying to wrap their heads around this industry itself right now, and maybe don't recognize how critical that is going to be, and the value that I think that information and that data that you guys are going to collect there is really going to be for the company. So you maybe want to touch a little bit on, you know, what you expect, you know, in terms of the value you're going to be able to, you know, derive here from this facility.
Yeah, sure. It really is based in that the experience of that we saw in the cannabis industry is we know it's not easy to produce large scale, analytically tested, compliant natural products. It's quite difficult. We know that from cannabis. We expect the same thing will happen in psilocybin. So, you know, if you're trying to understand it, consider the lens of cannabis. Whereas if you knew a company had developed all the techniques and protocols to produce mass scale cultivation of cannabis in a way that's going to meet all the analytical testing requirements without the hiccups and lost crops that went along with the typical bumps in the road and growing pains, it'd be make a lot of sense to support that kind of work in advance. We just happen to be, lucky and potentially maybe thoughtful about trying to do this. You know, it had many of the cannabis companies in Canada or the US known that they could have got a head start in perfecting cultivation techniques in Jamaica before the industry really blossomed. My guess is many of them would have taken up the opportunity. So it would have been such a challenge when they did actually start to cultivate at large scale. So that's the rationale. It also builds goodwill with a respected academic institution. So to the extent we want to enter into clinical trials or need access to researchers, it certainly helps that there as well. But the bigger consideration is just putting us ahead of the curve in terms of what we can anticipate as the hiccups and bumps in the road as this industry starts to scale.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping you would touch on, is being ahead of the curve, because that's really what I see. You know, when I look at Field Trip, I think the one thing that was so encouraging is that you guys sort of anticipate where things are going, and you're really basing it off of the experiences that we saw in the cannabis space and applying that knowledge to what you guys are doing here in the development of Field Trip. And I really see so much value in that and the way you guys are working your plan out here going forward. So, but keeping things, you know, sort of on the more business and investor side, myself, you know, I've spent several years working in the public markets. I've seen companies, you know, and I've either worked for companies or been a part of companies that have gone from the pink sheets all the way up to NASDAQ, you know. And if there's one thing that I have recognized that resonates very effectively with those in the investor community, it's transparency. And so on that, I want to talk a little bit about the company's recent news being now trading on the OTCQX, which is a very important step, I think, here for the company moving forward, because this does sort of put the company in a situation, in a position where you will now have to operate quite transparently. And I think that's important, especially at this given juncture in the industry's development and growth. Again, I go back to people still not understanding the industry, trying to wrap their heads around it. I think this is an important first step, you know, in creating that level of transparency. Do you want to talk a little bit about what this means here for the company now moving on to the OTCQX?
Yeah, absolutely. You touch on transparency, and I think that's an entirely valid point. We had always engineered Field Trip to be public company ready. You know, we've brought in a great team of great CFO, a great team of finance people, you know, great legal team all around us. Again, it's been informed by having spent many years in the cannabis industry and really thinking about, I'm a lawyer, that happens to help a little bit, but not that much, because I'm not very good at what I used to do anymore. But we always knew that was on the path. So we've always architected our internal operations to be public company ready for transparency. And so when we listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange, that was a first step. You know, we always had ambitions and still have ambitions of uplifting to some of the major exchanges, whether that's NASDAQ, New York Stock Exchange, Toronto Stock Exchange. And we're putting in all the pieces and controls in place to be ready for that. But the step up to the OTCQX was great. You know, it's a great validation and should enable access to more investors. We were on the bulletin board for a while, which is really just a function of paperwork. You know, it just took time to clear all the hoops and get all the legal opinions and all that kind of stuff in place so we could get listed on the QX. And so it's a great stepping stone, but it's only a stepping stone. You know, we do have ambitions of being a globally recognized company that has interest and support and investment from around the world. So we're taking the steps necessary to make sure that anybody who wants to invest in Field Trip from anywhere they are is able to do so as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, very exciting. And again, it's just all about setting that foundation. I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job at that, just really understanding all of the different components that goes into building a globally recognized company. You know, it's not easy. And I really see you guys doing the right things out there. So I have to commend you for that. As I mentioned, this is the first time we've had a chance to touch base here in the new year. Didn't get a chance to speak to you last month, but I want to ask you maybe a little bit about the outlook here for 2021 and the company. You know, maybe what you hope to really achieve, you know, going into the rest of the year here for Field Trip Health.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we've got a lot of things on the go. We decided to take a big chunk out of the opportunities in the emerging psychedelic space. And so there's lots of things that we're hoping to achieve. The most important, I think, for us is to get FT-104, our novel psychedelic molecule that we think has all the promise of psilocybin, but addresses some of the key business and therapeutic limitations of psilocybin. We hope to get that into phase 1 clinical trials in man. So we'll start doing testing in people, which would be great. We've got an aggressive timeline to actually get that to market based on the strategy and indication and population we're going after. So that's one of our key focuses. And then continuing to roll out our Field Trip Health locations. We recently signed a lease in San Diego as well. And other US locations will be announced soon. So things are continuing to progress on that front, as well as, you know, building the community around our app Trip, which has received incredible feedback from across the board. And the community is growing organically by itself. We haven't put a lot of marketing effort into it. We're just about to do that. So I think we'll see a big community start to grow around that. And those are, you know, the focuses of this year. There's lots to do. You know, as I implied, you know, we're looking at up listings or cross listings to major exchanges, and there's lots of pieces to put in place with that. Being a public company in a growth oriented sector, you know, there'll be lots of opportunities, and whether acquisitions or partnerships or anything along those lines. So no shortage of work to do, but focus is FT-104 and opening up those clinics and really delivering great experiences for the people coming through.
Yeah, very exciting. It's all about positioning. And again, I've got to commend you. I think 2020 was really, you know, a great year for you guys in terms of just getting yourself positioned very effectively here in the industry. I see you guys as a leader here in this space and in this industry. I'm very encouraged with the direction that the company is going in. And so I'm excited to continue to follow the story here. And I know we'll have a lot more to talk about as the year progresses and goes on. But this was a great little update here to get ourselves familiarized again with everything going on here in the new year. So Ronan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me. And again, I look forward to having you on again.
It's a pleasure every time. Thank you so much for having me on every time and giving us an opportunity to share all the fun stuff we're doing at Field Trip. So we appreciate what you're doing and thank you for your support.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Global Track Solutions, Inc. and Psychedelic Spotlight does not in any way encourage or condone the use, purchase, sale, or transfer of any illegal substances, nor do we encourage or condone partaking in any unlawful activities. We support a harm reduction approach for the purpose of education and promoting individual and public safety. If you are choosing to use psychedelic substances, please do so responsibly. The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the Psychedelic Spotlight podcast are those of their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Psychedelic Spotlight and Global Track Solutions, Inc.